You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenz with the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. It's great to be back post Labor Day style, which means the NFL season is nearly here. We are about 48 hours away right now from the New England Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs. And I see the New England Patriots made enough space in their stadium for 11 championship banners to be hung. And listen, Tom Brady's not going anywhere anytime soon, but even this dude can't, he's not winning another six times, all right? And once Brady's gone, you guys are toast. But nevertheless, we're breaking it down, man. Dave Malinsky joins us straight from the Strip of Las Vegas, Nevada, where I was just about 48 hours ago. And it's funny, I was literally a couple hundred feet from Dave Malinsky's house. But I wasn't chilling with Dave. Dave was very busy. I was busy. But Dave lives right near the Westgate Superbook. We hung out at the Superbook a lot over the weekend. Already over 2,500 entries, man, into the Superbook Super Contest this year. Over 2,500. You know, the record was like 1980 or something like that. They needed to get to like 2,040 entrants to make it $1 million for first prize. And they've shattered that. We're talking, it might be $1.5 million to the winner. Like, I plan on being a millionaire. Let's say, what's the date? About January 6th or 7th or so, I believe it is. Actually, no, you know, when's the last week? I guess it's New Year's Eve, right? Dear God, that's insane. I'm going to be in Vegas New Year's Eve weekend, man, ready to cash my freaking money, man. Just like I did 2 years ago. I'm part of four teams this year. Four. It killed me. All right, I was running around Vegas, man. I was pulling out money. I'm like, all right, I got to bet on this game right now. And if this game wins, I'll pay the guy for another entry. And it was one of those deals. And every year I tell myself, man, this contest is impossible to win. Now there's 2,500 people in it. Like, any jackass can get hot and win this thing now. But you know what? I'm a jackass. I can get hot. You know, so why not? We're rolling the dice a little bit. So we'll keep you abreast of this. It's going to be kind of confusing. People are already asking me, what's the name of your super contest team? Well, that depends. that depends. I got a couple of teams in here. You know, obviously, you know, everyone's going to know Team Sports Rage. So Sports Rage, that's the team with the same guys, the two guys that won a couple of years ago with. We got Team Conflict Diamond, which we named after our horse, which I don't know if it was a good idea considering our horse has got a fractured foot right now. I'm part of another team called the LA Express because we got some LA hustlers and we got some Cali guys that we're looking to hustle this thing and make some money. And I'm also part of a team called Three Bald Guys. I didn't come up with that one. It's kind of, you know, that was a little generic, but hey, it is what it is. And if we win, maybe the other two bald guys I'm in it with will open up like a hamburger chain. What's the other one? Is it Five Guys? You know, we'll rip it off. Three Bald Guys. Three bald guys, three angry bald guys. Excuse me, can I get some ketchup? No! Get the hell out! If I ran a restaurant, I'd be like the soup Nazi on Seinfeld. Yeah. No soup for you. All right, so Dave Malinsky's going to join us. We're talking football. Tony Cincata's going to join us. We're talking football. Chris Meany's joining us. We're talking football. All right, so we're talking college football, NFL football, and fantasy football. DraftKings is here. I walked into the studio. I see camera two Drew. He's got the DraftKings page open right now. And I doubt he was playing baseball tonight. How do we handle this? We'll jump in on a Thursday game. We focus so much in on the weekend. And we're going to do that again, actually, today. Because Thursday game's not part of the millionaire maker stuff. And I want to talk about this billion-dollar thing. What's that billion-dollar lineup about? You know, we'll get to that a little bit later in the week. So Meany, Cincata, we got you covered from a fantasy standpoint. Malinsky, we got you covered from a gambling standpoint. So week one of the college football season is officially in the books, and it won't soon be forgotten. An historic one, literally and figuratively. All right, we had our second biggest comeback in NCAA football history as the Chosen Rosen, Josh Rosen, and the UCLA Bruins rallied back from 34 points down to beat the Texas A&M Aggies. It is not so, Texas A&M. You know, you guys look awesome. You look like championship contenders. And then, you know, you look like rice. Absolutely fell apart. Sumlin's in the hot seat. Amora would have been in the hot seat if they didn't come back and win. Epic football game. And anytime Gus Johnson's doing a game, you know the craziness is around the corner, all right? You know the craziness is around the corner. But nothing was crazier than Howard. That's right, Howard. Howard beating the UNLV Running Rebels. Now, the fact of the matter is UNLV Running Rebels shouldn't be favored by 43 points against a high school team. And I say this, like, seriously. Like, you know, we always talk about, listen, a college team isn't beating a CFL team or an NFL team. You know, wake up, that's stupid talk. You know, high school teams aren't going to beat a college team, but some high school teams could beat college teams. And I'm telling you what, the Bishop Gorman Gales, these guys, they probably would be able to beat or compete with UNLV. Like, if you told me that UNLV was playing Bishop Gorman, and Bishop Gorman are a powerhouse out of Las Vegas, they're like the second best high school team in America type of deal. You know, at number one, number two. They just lost on Friday night for the first time in like 25 games or something like that. But like, they're a rock solid big time program. Like I said last week when I saw UNLV were favored by 43 points, I'm like, I don't know if UNLV should be favored against Bishop Gorman. But it was Howard, all right? Howard are a two-win football team. You know, UNLV, you know, the odds makers know what they're doing. Obviously not, but Howard actually wins the game outright. Nobody knew that Howard's quarterback, oh yeah, that's Cam Newton's brother. Little Kalen Newton running around everywhere. Kid can't throw the football, but it didn't matter. You know, the guy runs like a deer. He's running down the field all night long on the UNLV Running Rebels. They lose as 43-point underdogs. It's the biggest upset in football history. Yet, is it really? Because UNLV suck, all right? You know, UNLV are a terrible team. Their win total is like three. So, you know, is it the biggest upset? To me, Liberty beating Baylor was a bigger upset. But now we have the NFL. So I'm thinking, all right, man, that was a pretty crazy-ass week one of college of football. How does this correlate into the pros? There's no correlation at all, but let's have some fun with it here. So, look, we have the biggest upset ever. Who's the biggest underdog on the board this week right now? The New York Jets, all right? The New York Jets. And this is even with the fact that Tyrod Taylor might not play. It could be Nate Peterman. Although it's starting to look like Taylor's going to play because a lot of sports books are jacking the line up. Like Tyrod Taylor is Joe Montana or something. Ooh, great. Tyrod Taylor's in. Oh, yeah, great. You seen this kid play? You seen Tyrod Taylor play in the preseason this year? I don't think he got a damn first down. I don't know. Who are they throwing the ball to? Do the Buffalo Bills even have 53 players on their roster? I don't even know. At the other day, like, I think they're so dumb. They didn't even really know. Like, they had 50 guys on the roster because McDermott hates everybody. He keeps cutting everybody. You're cut. You're cut. I don't like you. You're gone. Hey, coach, you know, we need 53 guys, right, to actually play this game. So if we're looking at this, very similar situation between the Buffalo Bills and the UNLV Running Rebels. They both suck. They're both terrible. And they both should never be favored by this many points against anybody. 43 against Howard, 9.5 against the New York Jets. Now, I am a big diehard Buffalo Bill fan, and I tell you, we're terrible, all right? We're inept. We're clueless. But I still think we can beat the New York Jets. And I'm willing to roll the dice in a survivor almost, but I'm not willing to lay 9.5 points. And listen, I've been saying the Jets might not win a football game this year, and I don't think they can, but if they are going to, I hate to say it, this might actually be the one, but I think LeSean McCoy can do enough. Listen, the Browns are big dogs. DeShone Kizer's not beating the Steelers. The Bears aren't beating the Falcons. Although they might cover the point spread, the Bears, but I don't think they're going to win the football game outright. We haven't locked in our Week 1 NFL picks yet, but I'll tell you right now, an underdog and a live underdog and a team that I don't think a lot of people are going to be wanting to bet on in Week 1 here, I think they can win this game outright. That's San Francisco 49ers getting 5.5 points on their home field against the Carolina Panthers. And even though I am higher on the Panthers, I think the Panthers are in a little bit of a bounce back situation after last year's disappointing season. And let me tell you something quickly here. You know, last 14 times that a team lost in a Super Bowl, didn't make the playoffs the following year. They made the playoffs every year after that. The Carolina Panthers fall into that category. But I think they can lose. San Francisco have actually won 6 consecutive season openers. I don't know how the hell they've done this. Joe Montana and Steve Young couldn't do this, but the Stiffs that they have right now have actually won 6 consecutive season openers. Make it 7. I like San Francisco in an upset, or at least to cover the 5.5. Who do you guys like in Week 1? Game Time Decisions continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rashard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. I am Gabriel Morenci. The Tony Cincotta will join us in a couple of moments. Chris Meany is going to join me in studio. We're going to talk some fantasy football from a DFS perspective. Week one, DraftKings, FanDuel, and all that other stuff. Dave Malinsky's got us covered from a betting perspective. But before we bring Dave in, if you plan on playing our plays or if you want to fade us, make sure you do it over at mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag. They've got live in-game betting. Join mybookie now. Get 100% deposit bonus. Use promo code GTD at mybookie.ag. Promo code GTD. Get 100% sign-up bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. Mybookie.ag. Dave Malinsky steps up and in. Straight from the strip in Las Vegas, at Nevada. And Dave, I was basically in your parking lot for most of the weekend. I spent a lot of time going in and out of the back doors of the Westgate and the sports book. And, you know, I couldn't help but think of you as I looked over that the wall and the gated community that you live in at the country club.
Well, the first thing that I think about when I hear this opening is there are people out there that actually fade you.
Yeah,
who would dare do that in the betting cosmos?
I was going to say the same thing, and normally I get more aggressive. I didn't write this promo, for the record, and I wouldn't have put that in there. But normally, last week when I read this, Dave, I said, if you're stupid enough to want to fade me, but I figured I'd keep it a clean, professional-type promo without telling the viewers to go screw themselves.
No, the last thing in the world any of us should do if we're in our right mind. Now, maybe it's a little different at the harness track, you know, because of the impact that you have had on those pools. But when it comes to sports, no, we're not going to fade Gabe.
I appreciate that. You're being too kind, Dave, because, you know, people that faded me on Friday night did very well. And it's funny because I read Jay Cornegay's comments when he was asked by Michael Roberts, how'd the weekend go? And he said, you know what? We did really well on Friday night. Everybody had Washington in the over. Check, check. I had big money on the over that game. He said a lot of people had Colorado State. Everybody bet the over the Colorado State-Colorado game. So there was four games that the books did very, very well on. But then Cornegay said we gave it all back with Michigan and Alabama. And there were a lot of Michigan-Alabama parlays out there. And, of course, Alabama closed a lot of money line parlays for the players on Saturday night.
Yeah, of course, one of the things, though, that's a bit of a mixed bag for the sportsbook directors, yeah, they were always going to cry and moan, you know, gee, we didn't win enough money. Well, you know what? One of the things you actually don't mind is you don't mind the bettors winning early in the season because you want them to be confident. You want them to come out and keep firing. And the big thing is when the guys do start to lose later on, you want them to stay in the game. So if I had a shop, I actually would prefer the bettors to win early. It could do wonders for your handle.
I tell you what, you're a smart man, Dave, because I've spoken, I spoke to a bookie, let's just say, we'll come out and say, I spoke to a guy once, and a pretty big time guy, and I said, how's it going? And he goes, well, he goes, it's good news and it's bad news. He goes, my players, they can't pick a winner to save their life. He goes, guys are losing, you know, 20 dimes, 38 dimes, 17 dimes. I said, so what's the bad news? He goes, they're out of money. And he goes, it's week nine. And so like you said, Dave, you know, he goes, it's week nine. And he goes, I swear to God, Morenci, he goes, I sit at home and look at the screen and go, I hope this poor bastard can win because I know if he doesn't, he's tapping out, he's done.
Yeah, let's talk about the psychology of a lot of bettors. If they lose the first 2 weeks of the season, they can be done. If they win the first 2 weeks, they can lose 5 weeks in a row after that,
yeah.
But they stay in because they go back to those early weeks believing that's who they really are.
That's a great point. All right, Dave, so let's jump in right now. Speaking of early weeks, This is a tough football game here. Yeah, they got the Chiefs and the Patriots, and to me, a Chiefs and a Patriots matchup is always a tough matchup. You throw in the fact that it's a season opener and it's even a little bit more trickier. You wrote about the Patriots over at sportsbookreview.com in your daily column, Vegas Point Blank today. So let's sort of combine the Pats, your thoughts on the Pats and this Chiefs game into one.
There might be some assimilation issues with this New England offense. Now, Julian Edelman was a terrific, terrific role player for them. Well, what did New England specialize in? Getting people in the right places. Yeah, they didn't beat you with super offensive talent. They beat you because Brady would recognize mismatches. Well, now he's got Brandon Cooks, he's got Philip Dorsett, he's got some guys who can run down the field, but it's different now. The chemistry isn't there yet. And it's the chemistry of the receivers knowing what Brady's going to be looking for, Brady knowing how they're going to respond to different coverages. I wouldn't be surprised if this New England offense was maybe a little inconsistent in the early stages. Chiefs are tough to knock out of a game because they're not going to beat themselves. This one just might be closer than a lot of people expect.
Yeah, I think the number's on the high side of 7, Dave. The 8, 8.5. So I know it got up to 8.5. I'm seeing 8s right now for the most part, but I agree with you. I just think it's a little bit on the high side of 7. Now, you know, you've been around a long time, Dave, and I mean that with all due respect, and I've been around a long time, too. And I remember in the old days, it used to be money to bet against the team that won the Super Bowl in week one. That was before they used to do the Thursday night games. I'm talking like years, years ago, like, you know, when, you know, Monday Night Football was still on ABC type of stuff. But I remember, like, even when the Cowboys used to win in the Jimmy Johnson days, they'd always lose that opener the next year. There'd sort of that be that letdown. But in the modern era, since they went to this Thursday night deal, I think it's been about 13, 14 years now, the home team and the Super Bowl champions absolutely dominated straight up and ATS.
It does become such a different event when you put that spark out there that we'll talk about this a lot over the course of the season. On Thursdays, on Monday nights, guys know when they're being watched. They know when not only the nation in terms of fans, they know when the other players and other coaches are watching them. That's when you get that intensity to pick up a little bit earlier. Because remember, this is different than the Thursday night games we'll see in season. Later on, the players don't like Thursdays because the prep time is too short. They're still physically tired off Sunday. No, this opener, you get the best punch that the champion can throw. I just think right now, though, the Patriots, let's say if power ratings are a year-long cycle, Patriots Thursday night might be 2 or 3 points below what their eventual power rating is going to be.
Dave, off the intro of the show, I sort of recapped the crazy weekend of college football and sort of tied it in to the National Football League, and I brought it up, the fact that, okay, so Howard beats UNLV. Didn't see that coming, but I noted last week, and my exact words were, UNLV shouldn't be favored by 43 against Bishop Gorman, let alone any college football team. Yet they were laying 43. So technically, it's the largest upset in football history. I don't see it that way because UNLV are not a good football team. And I will get your take on UNLV in Idaho a little bit later on here. But the Jets and the Bills, I sort of see a similarity here where the Jets are terrible like Howard are, and the Bills are like UNLV. Like, then no one even knows who the quarterback's going to be. You know, I don't know. We're hearing it probably Tyrod Taylor, might be Nate Peterman. Some books still have this game up, and they've got it at 9.5 right now, Dave. Is this sheer insanity? Do you see what I'm talking about, the correlation? Bad football team laying this many points?
Yeah, it is, because what the Jets can do is they can play a little bit of run defense. You know, Jets' defensive front will be salty. Everything else they do is utterly terrible. But that's enough to keep you in the game.
And that's all the Bills are going to do is run the ball with McCoy anyways. It's going to be an ugly, low-scoring game.
Yeah, the Jets' issue is once they fall behind by a margin, they have zero chance of playing their way back in. But that is a non-factor here because the Bills aren't going to be able to establish a margin.
You know, the question is, I think the Bills still win the football game. I think the LeSean McCoy factor is enough. Like, it's the wide receivers. You got Jordan Matthews is banged up. You know, who the hell knows we're going to get from Zay Jones? There's so many question marks coming into this, but the Jets, like you said, the Jets are terrible. I think the Bills can still find a way, but I there's no way I can lay the points here. All right, how about this one, Dave? Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco started practicing. I don't know if Harbaugh's just hustling us, but he said Flacco's got a long way to go, and basically implying, you know, he doesn't look ready to play this week. Now, they pay him big money. They're going to throw him out there no matter what, but are the Bengals the play because of Flacco's rustiness coming into this?
You know, here's the funny thing about Flacco. Even if he's not rusty, is he any good at this stage? This was a bad Baltimore offense last year. And when you look at them across the board, running backs below average, receivers below average, offensive line could be well below average. This is was a bad offense in 2016 that might even be worse this year. So to me, it's not a case of Flacco being injured. It's a case of just what does Flacco have left in the tank right now anyway. It's been a long time, seriously a long time, since we've seen something good from him.
Yeah, you're right. You know, you look at Kaepernick, Kaepernick versus Flacco in the Super Bowl. Cap's out of the league right now. There's a transition in football. Flacco's had a lot of injuries, not a mobile quarterback. We're in a mobile era right now. Going to be facing live bullets. As you stated, doesn't have a lot of weapons. I mean, you're counting on Rashad Perryman. He doesn't have a ton of weapons to step up here. And, you know, the Bengals have often let me down. It looks like we're going to have Who Ruined Your Sunday, boys, you know, week one, because I can't resist the Bengals in this spot. All right, Dave, I can't believe I haven't gotten to 2 minutes yet because we're having a great time getting a lot of games here. Anything else in the NFL, any other NFL games before I pick your brain, a little college on the way out?
Yeah, one of the things that I think is going to be a surprise element this year, the New Orleans Saints defense, and it sounds so odd to say that the Saints are going to play some defense. I like the chemistry of this. They went out there with a purpose. They signed the right guys in the secondary. They have a sense of purpose. Maybe look for Saints games, which historically have flown over, maybe to play a little different. Now they're deep at running back, and they're not deep at receiver, not just losing Cooks in the offseason. Now they don't lose Willie Snead for a few games.
Yeah.
We're going to start the season by looking for different flows from the Saints than in the past.
That's very interesting. It's true. They could run the ball a little bit more. I like where you're going with that, actually. I'm high on the Saints. And, you know, it's funny because I'm high on the Vikings. But I'm actually intrigued by the Saints getting 3.5 in that football game.
Right now, the Minnesota offense just doesn't show a lot of game-breaking ability.
Exactly. Like, their defense is so good, but can they keep up? If Drew Brees puts, you know, 24 up on them, and, you know, they can score 30 on anybody, but let's say they get to 24, can the Vikings keep up offensively?
It's hard because, again, you just don't have that offensive line, which they believe is going to be better than last year, still has a lot of question marks. Only one guy back in the same position that he played last year, that line just isn't going to give the offense the options.
All right, well, Hurricane Irma is on its way, and I got to tell you, man, like ominous skies on the East Coast, Dave. You saw my tweet. I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. You know, 48 hours ago, I was walking down Paradise Boulevard in Vegas. It's a beautiful day. I was perfectly comfortable drinking a Gatorade, had a nice meal. And then 24 hours later, Dave, I'm standing in the rain, and there's like vicious windstorms on the East Coast. I'm like dodging debris falling off of condo balconies. That's why I tweeted. You know, people, I thought you were moving, Renzi. No, but I got to tell you, like you, Dave, I need some sun and some warmth in my body. All right, Dave, so college football, Auburn and Clemson. What do you make of this one? A little bit of line movement. Tigers and the Clemson Tigers were laying 6, down to 5 right now. Jared Stidham wasn't perfect, but you can just sort of see the confidence and the enthusiasm on the sidelines of the Auburn skill position players now that Stidham's there. I was watching that game at the sports book, and, you know, Stidham was like the hot girl at the prom, man. Every guy on the team was coming up and rubbing his head and talking to him. They all wanted to get to know him, and he's the big man on campus right now, Stidham, and he can be an even bigger man on campus if he can pull this upset off against Clemson.
The question is, are they ready yet? I think they would love to have a couple more games under their belts.
Yeah.
You know, before they went into this one. The speed of that Clemson defense, you need some practice time to ramp up. Now, Auburn's defense is going to hold their own. They are going to be very, very salty. I just don't know if Jared Stidham has enough under his belt yet in this offense for this atmosphere. that is a tough, tough place to go into.
I'm sure Dave's going to be talking about the other marquee college football games on the board over at sportsbookreview.com. And I look forward to you joining me in the late night hours, Dave, in the SBR forums. And we'll kick it late night style like we do on TV here, uncensored too. But before we get you out of here, not a marquee game. UNLV in Idaho. Wow. A little Kalen Newton goes in there, upsets them. I was at the Westgate. The Howard fans were actually staying at the Westgate. And they were pretty happy on Saturday night, let me tell you. How does UNLV respond here going into Idaho? And the Vandals aren't as bad as people think they are.
Yeah, here's why this was such a huge loss for UNLV, is that if they could have played anywhere near 500 this year, maybe slip into a minor bowl game, next spring was the first time Tony Sanchez could recruit by saying, hey, guess what, kids? If you come here, you'll be playing in Raider Stadium as juniors and seniors. You could be historic. Well, now Sanchez probably himself will never coach a game in that stadium. That was a But in terms of people calling it the biggest upset in college history, here's the problem. That point spread wasn't necessarily real. The books just guess for a team like Howard. Howard will not be on the board again this year. So when there's a one-off like that, they're half guessing as to what the line is supposed to be. Maybe it was a big upset. Maybe it wasn't. You know, we just really don't know. That's not really a point spread that had a lot of integrity behind it.
To me, it was a bigger upset than Liberty beat Baylor.
That was probably a little more significant because there's more known about the Liberty program. So that line had a little more integrity to it. Howard, the oddsmakers would tell you, they were just guessing.
Dave Malinsky. Read his daily column over at sportsbookreview.com, Vegas Point Blank. Dave, it's always a pleasure. We'll speak next Monday night online, and we'll see you next Tuesday right here on the Fantasy Sports Television Network.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
Dave Malinsky with us. The Tony Cincotta joins us next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game time decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does the countdown to the start of the National Football League regular season, which means it's not too late to go over to rotoexperts.com/discount, promo code RAGE, get 10% off. It's going to help you win your fantasy football league this year. It'll help you win some cash tournaments, head-to-head matchups, DFS, etc. No better experts in the business than the Roto Experts. RotoExperts.com/discount, promo code RAGE. Promo code RAGE. Let's bring in the Tony Cincotta right now. Tony, hey. Always a pleasure, you know, Tony.
You know what I found out? A lot of people love the show with you and cameraman too, Drew. They love it. They like you guys bickering. And they think you're so smart. And cameraman Drew, you're going to be his mentor in life.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't listen to me, this kid. He thinks he knows everything. It's like all the millennials, right? They know everything. He raised some good points. He raised some very, very good points. And, you know, I had explanations, but, you know, we didn't have enough time to get to them. Yeah, we'll have to do another battle like that as well. But you only saw the good part of Cameron too, Drew. You don't hear all the asinine comments that he makes. Like for the record, in the last commercial break, he told me the Kansas City Chiefs are going to be like 2-9 or 3-7 to start the season this year.
Oh, he's going to the well. I'll tell you right now, it's funny. I heard you guys talking about the first game and how the favorites have done there. The one thing I thought your guess was right on the money. Tom Brady's got a whole new offense to learn. Guys that go deep, a lot of speed guys. And the 9.5 points are going to be interesting. And I won't be playing Tom Brady the first week. He is actually the one quarterback I'm going to avoid at that price.
Yeah, he could be a little choppy. You know what I mean? They're going to move the ball, but it's week one. The Chiefs can get after Brady a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, the Chiefs can, they always match up well with this team. And like you said, Philip Dorsett, he has no clue. There's no way in hell this kid knows the playbook. Cooks has been there a little bit right now. I believe in Hogan, but I see a lot of dinking and dunking of Hogan right now. And, yeah, you got Gronkowski over the middle. You know, Gronk's always one hit away from being back on the sidelines again. You know, to me, the point spread's a little high as well. I'm not playing Tom Brady here. I think it's a lower scoring game. I'm thinking it's like a 24-17 style game, Tony.
Yeah, they beat him really bad on Monday Night Football a couple years ago. Kansas City's defense takes a lot of chances. They'll go after the quarterback. They'll jump a few routes. They might hit on some. They might miss on some. I think the guy that's going to be the key to the game, actually, is the New England Patriots' Danny Amendola. I think a lot of people are expecting Chris Hogan to take that role. I think Danny Amendola is going to be on the field until he gets hurt, which is a usual
occurrence. He's more fragile than I am, Tony. And I'm fragile, all right? My body makes more sounds than Uncle Leo on Seinfeld. I'm a fragile dude. I'm falling apart. And yeah, I'm in better shape than Amendola is.
Danny, people forget, back in the Rams days, he caught 90 balls. In the playoffs, he shows up every time. I think on the first game, they go to Danny Amendola.
Yeah, the Rams days. You're going back away. You're going away. And Bridget Bardot used to be hot too, Tony, right?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Right now, camera to Drew. Bridget Bardot. All right. Have you ever heard of Bridget Bardot, Drew?
No.
He says no.
You know what's the crazy part? I know why us older guys hate young kids like Drew, is they get free girls on the internet. Like, they can look up pictures and stuff, and we had to go to posters and National Geographic.
Yeah, that's right. National Geographic, yeah, man. Yeah, those are some harsh pictures in the early days. You're right. The schools in the 70s, man, you see, I'm like, dear God. I hope naked chicks are better than this. Yeah. All right, Tony. Let's keep it on track here, Tony. We're not on the radio. All right. So, listen. We replayed our DraftKings talks, and some stuff changed. You know, the Buffalo Bills and Tyrod Taylor being the most specifically. But not to be redundant, I even changed my mind about this Carson Wentz Zach Ertz stack. I really haven't. And I'm going to play more than one lineup. But I'm getting Carson Wentz at $5,300. I'm getting Zach Ertz at $3,500. Washington Redskins gave up 114 receptions last year to the tight end position. The first time that Ertz played against the Skins last year, 13 targets, 10 catches, and 112 yards. I think this game's going to be an air show, an aerial attack. Like I said, we'll get to some other quarterbacks that I'm going to play in some other lineups. But I'm dead serious. I'm going to play Carson Wentz with Zach Ertz, and it's going to give me a ton of money to spend elsewhere.
I totally agree with you. We talked about it before. They threw the ball six most attempts in the National Football League. You look at the team, they can't find a running game. They're going to start out Wendell Smallwood. They're going to get a little Garrett LeBlanc. They brought in new wide receivers. I think that's the way to go. And I found one more guy a little cheaper, a guy you mentioned earlier on the show. I like Brian Hoyer in the San Francisco 49ers against Carolina's secondary, which was absolutely brutal last season, and they didn't make too many great impacts. Now, they get better up front, and maybe they get to the pass rush, but I think Brian Hoyer is a guy people are sleeping on.
You know what? I like where you're going with that in a way, but I think it's a low-scoring game, that game. I think it's going to be a smash-mouth-style football game, that contest. So let's get to a couple other guys. And I know they're kind of obvious here, but obvious with good reason. I think the highest scoring game on the board this week is going to be the Titans and the Raiders. So now you get into a question, and maybe you disagree, but we get into a question. Who would you rather have, Marcus Mariota for $6,800 or Carr, Derek Carr for $6,700? You know, still cheaper than the other guys. Still cheaper than, you know, than the Rodgers and the Roethlisbergers, the Ryans, and the Wilsons of the world. Although I like Wilson, too. We'll get to him. What do you make of Mariota and Carr? Do you like either one of them this week? And if you don't, why? Because they both seem to be in good spots.
They're in my top three. All right, those are my top three. The other game you mentioned is the other one, Russell Wilson there. I think those are the two highest totals on the board because I think Green Bay can't run the ball, so they're going to throw the ball 50-plus times, and they can't defend the pass. So that Seattle-Green Bay game is going to right there. But I like Marcus Mariota over Carr. Last year you got the rushing yards with Mariota. Through the fifth game to the 12th game, he was the number one quarterback in fantasy football, number one player. I think he runs a little less this year, but they've added weapons. They're going to be better. I look for this guy to throw 3-4 touchdowns in games this year. Last year was unthinkable with that running game. and he would get those rushing yards. A little less rushing, more passing this year for Tennessee.
You know, one thing with Mariota, I'm a little bit concerned, only because I think the Titans will be able to run the ball down the Raiders' throat if they want to. But you can do whatever you want against the Raiders. They're ranked 23rd versus the run and 24th versus the pass. And you talked about it with Carolina. Raiders didn't do a whole hell of a lot to get that much better on defense.
Nope.
You know, and people don't realize they scored 25 points a game last year. They gave up 24. Their 31-point winning margin was the smallest margin of victory for a 12-win team in the history of the National Football League. I like the Titans in this game. I like both quarterbacks, but I agree with you. I think Mariota's a better play there. All right, other big-time quarterbacks, you said Russell Wilson. That's what I'm thinking, too. You got Rodgers, $7,000. You got Russell Wilson, $6,900. I'm really high on Wilson coming into this year. Guy's got a chip on his shoulder. He's in great shape. He's going to make plays. And the other big-time guy, you know, Matt Ryan, $6,900. He's almost an automatic three-touchdown passes, isn't he? Come on.
As long as they don't get stopped at the goal line. But Sarkisian said this year, hey, Julio Jones only had nine attempts inside the 10-yard line. We are going to throw the ball in goal line situations to Julio Jones and get on the ball. So that could upgrade Matt Ryan. The guy that I really like is Carson Palmer at $6,000. You're talking about the Detroit Lions secondary. That was brutal. It was the second worst secondary in all of football last year. Carson Palmer had a great second half of the season. People went unnoticed. He's going to go from 26 touchdowns to about 35 this year. And I don't care if we figure out who the number two wide receiver is. They'll throw to David Johnson. They'll throw to Larry Fitzgerald. John Brown will get deep. J.J. Nelson will get deep. They'll have a big day.
Lions secondary gave up an incredibly high 72% of the passes thrown by quarterbacks last year. All right, picks from a gaming standpoint. What do you like this week?
Now, it's going to be a little distorted because we don't know the game, but I love the Tampa Bay-Miami under. Jay Cutler going against a good Tampa defense that people didn't know about. Now, a lot of the books probably have it off the board. I bet it a week ago, so hopefully that game gets played. I like the over in the Green Bay-Seattle game. I think you look at that game, I think Green Bay is the best team at giving up on the run early in the game, and they air it out. You don't usually want to take the over against the Seattle defense, but I think this opportunity in this game's there, and I like Arizona in a pick 'em over the Detroit Lions.
You know what? I like your picks. I like your picks. Thanks, Tony. Great stuff as always. We encourage people to check out Tony on the Dish Network every night, as well as on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And you got to get me on one of these nights, Tony. I'm up. You know, I thought about you the other night. I was like, you know, I'm sitting here. I'm up. It's 2 in the morning. I'll come on live with you if you want.
Oh, we would love that. Gabe Morency, up live. And you must be delightful at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. I like what you said earlier in the day, what I said, told you, Tony. You know, we're on at 2 in the afternoon, GTD. If you're unemployed, check us out. Thanks, Tony.
All right, take care, my man.
See you later. Tony Cicada with us. Chris Meany joins us next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
All right, we've been informed by the boys in the booth that Bridget Bardot is 85 years old. So there's no excuse, Drew. There's no excuse, Drew. You know, I would understand. I'm not talking about like Queen Victoria or something for like 288 years ago. What about you, Meany? Have you ever heard of Bridget Bardot?
Yes.
You've heard the name.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Drew hasn't, and that surprised you?
No, you're right. I don't know why I'm surprised.
all the talk in the office.
The correlation was because Tony Cincato was bigging up Danny Amendola.
Okay.
And I said, Danny Amendola sucks. All right? I said, the guy is more fragile than I am. He always gets hurt.
Yes.
And you can't trust him, especially in a slot. Like, then the guy's going to get nailed.
Right.
I know he's a good player, good football player, but you know, he's injury prone.
Of course, yeah. I'd be shocked if he played half the season.
So Tony brought up, well, we caught 90-plus balls with the Rams.
Oh, wow.
With the Rams?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, and so I said, yeah, and Bridget Bardot used to be hot, too.
Yeah.
So it made sense. Yeah, Danny Amendola caught. I knew it went right over Cameron to Drew's head, but Just the fact that she's 85 years old, Jude, doesn't mean you should never have heard of her before. Like, have you ever heard of World War One? Like, have you heard those words, World War One? You know, that was a long time ago.
Amendola
is Jesse
fragile,
Owens? Though. That was a long time ago. I tell you, man.
Camera two, Drew needs a history lesson.
He's like a Seahawk fan. Life didn't exist. The world didn't exist before, like, 2014 for Drew. Right. Like, Drew starts, like, you know, it's not like, you know, before and after Christ and stuff like that.
Yeah.
With Drew, it's before and after Blink 182.
Yeah, Blink 182. Yeah.
Like, the Blink 182's, like, records.
Yeah.
That's the start of civilization for Cameron.
I don't watch any movies in the 90s.
Drew Bledsoe is a quarterback. Blink 182. That's, like, when, you know, Drew's world starts. Joe Montana, go F yourself.
Don't like any. Don't think any females are good looking if they're over 28 years old.
Oh, yeah. She's old.
Yeah.
She's ugly. They're terrible. Yeah. Average career. All right, let's jump in. RotoExperts.com/discount. Promo code RAGE. Like camera two, Drew makes me rage. Get 10% off. RAGE. RotoExperts.com/discount. All right, Willie Snead. I saw you tweeting about this. He was in a really nice spot in an offense here, and Malinsky brought it up earlier. The Saints might run a little bit more, but still in a great spot opposite Michael Thomas. I was in Las Vegas, and my stupid charger died. We got a bunch of computers in this building, but no chargers, as we know. I actually paid $100 on my own, but that's besides the point. But you know what? I'm in airports and stuff, Chris. I'm like, Willie Snead out. I'm like, trying to get on?
Yeah.
Brandon Coleman.
Yeah.
Took Brandon Coleman. Just as a little bit of a buffer here to replace a Willie Snead in case one of my other guys gets hurt. He's next man up right now. Suddenly for the first 3 weeks, Brandon Coleman is the number two wide receiver with the New Orleans Saints. And even before the injuries, Peyton said he's having a great camp. They said, I really like what you see. Big 6'6" guy.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
Listen, I'm not talking about putting him in a season-long lineup here, but maybe a DFS steal for dirt cheap, guys.
Yeah, he certainly can be, because I'm interested in Thomas and the attention that he's going to get as a true number one. I mean, he had Cooks on the other side. He's going to get a lot of attention. And the Saints start off pretty tough. I mean, Thomas is going to have Rhodes to deal with week one. They go up against the Pats in week two, so you're either going to have Gilmore or Butler. And then some of that attention can go on the opposite side. I mean, there's going to be some open balls to be thrown to a guy like Coleman, as you mentioned. And sometimes with these young wide receivers, I remember when he broke out as a rookie, there was a lot of excitement. Breeze was talking highly about him, and we saw some nice sights. He had a nice touchdown I remember seeing in the end zone. So
56 certainly, catches in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for a DFS standpoint, you can play him and it'd be a good GPP play.
Well, it's just, you know, if you're throwing the dice a little bit. If you're going to win, you got to roll the dice a little bit with this stuff. But I just wanted to bring him up as far as who moves up on the depth chart. One thing about this, though, 56 catches the last 2 years. They don't keep you around there unless they like you.
Oh, are. Exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they see something in this kid that they like about him. Otherwise, the diamond doesn't. Hey, we got Drew Brees. We'll get another stud kid, wide receiver in here. We can get a guy. Jonathan Williams, that came out of nowhere.
Oh, I was shocked
about
that.
And then no one picking him up is a surprise.
Yeah, no one picking him up. And you know what? Just the fact that the Bills run the ball so much, you know this. The line is fantastic. They run the ball. And over the last 2 years, the backup running back has turned out to be a top 40 running back in fantasy. So everyone's like, okay, well, myself included, I drafted Shady. I'll draft Williams near the end. Williams is done. I've already cut Williams. I'm not looking at a Bills running back to pick up, though.
Like, you're not running to get Joe Bannard?
No, and I'm not. And I've already had a couple questions. Like, I drafted Shady. Should I do it? And there's a couple. I mean, Charkandrick West should be owned.
What about Tolbert?
I mean, he's going to steal some goal line touches. I mean, that's concerning if you own Shady. We've talked about this even in Philadelphia, is that those goal line touches were taken away. And Tolbert, I mean, he will take some. So we could end up with five or six rushing touchdowns. Just some guys, running backs that I feel like are under-owned. And Charkandrick West is 12% right now on Yahoo. I mean, if anything happens to Hunt, I mean, West, he'll have a backfield there. DeAndre Washington, I don't think Marshawn Lynch is going to have a full season this year. He had over 5 yards per carry last year. It's a great line. I think he's the guy up. He's 9% owned. Cohen in Chicago, if anything happens to Howard, he had a great camp. He's 4% owned. And then Matt Breida, who Carlos Hyde has had 9 injuries in 3 years in the NFL. 9 injuries. Joe Williams is on the IR. They cut Hightower.
Yep.
So he is the next man up, and he can run heavy. And you know what Shanahan has done with his running back. So there's just a handful of backs that I'd rather just take a flyer on. Some high upside guys that they could be the guy. I mean, if Shady goes away, I don't know if I feel comfortable with Tolbert as my running back. Yeah, he's going to get some goal line touches, but I don't think this guy's going to run the ball 20-plus times.
Here's two guys that I'm starting to drink some Kool-Aid with week one rapidly approaching, and I drafted this kid because I figured Doug Martin's going to be out for the first 3 weeks, and I got Elliott on the same team. That's smart fantasy stuff. Yes. So I'm trying to be, you know, a real smart ass here. Like that camera too, Joe? We'll debate that if I pull this off.
Oh, he puts the thumb down.
Oh, thumbs down.
Shaquiz was great last season.
To me getting Ezekiel Elliott, who might be back. He might play Sunday.
Yeah.
You're making me choke now. he might play Sunday.
It looks like he may.
Yeah, he might play Sunday.
Yeah, we may know this tonight.
And then I got Shaquiz Rogers. And Doug Martin's sorry ass is suspended for the first 3 games. What have I got, Shaquiz? And then, boom, Elliott. That's smart GMing, Drew.
Yeah.
Smart GMing. But $4,900 on DraftKings. Kind of flying under the radar a little bit, Shaquiz. And, you know, time always flies when you're on meeting. I'm buying the hype with Todd Gurley this week. $6,000. What do you think against this Colts team that gave up $120 a game on the ground last year?
Oh, I love it. There's three teams I got down here. Yeah, Indy gave up 4.7 yards per carry, the third most in the NFL. And that's what I like about Gurley. I actually like a GPP contrarian stack with the Rams. I'm talking Goff and Sammy or Kupp and Gurley.
I was thinking about that. No one's going to have Lockett.
No one's going to have these guys.
No
and I'll even roll up the Rams defense.
Dancing.
Do you remember when somebody won $1 million in the Steelers? They had the killer, all three Bs, and Ben, Brown, and Bryant. And they had the Steelers' defense.
Yeah, the guy did it all Pennsylvania team.
And he did the whole thing.
Throw all your analysis. Some jackass did it all Pennsylvania team.
I'm just looking at defenses that struggled against the run this season. And did they make any adjustments? And the Colts are still going to be a bad team. So I like Gurley in that situation.
Heavy dose of Gurley.
Yeah.
I was just reading the L.A. Times this morning. I've been on the West Coast and this stuff. So I've been talking to a lot of guys from L.A. about this Rams game. Guys in Vegas all betting the Rams to beat Scott Tolzien. In this game, but Todd Gurley, I was reading an interview with him, said last year was the worst year of his life.
Said
he was ashamed, embarrassed, humiliated, all of the above. He said it won't happen again. And I'm not an Instagram guy, but people are like, check out the dude's Instagram. They're like, he's going like James Harrison stuff.
He's
posting videos of him like lifting fridges and stuff at 2 a.m.
He's
not screwing around.
And it's
like
real.
He doesn't want to fall back to mediocrity. He feels like he's a star. And like he said, he goes, it was the worst year of my life. I was ashamed.
And it's real because not a lot of people talk about fantasy, certainly football players, but he did. And he talked about how he thought he should be a first overall pick last
year. You're right.
And it was very disappointing. He was like RB24. He didn't return value at all. And even Sean McVay has said, this guy is, he's playing with a purpose right now. And everything is going to be much better than Jeff Fisher in town.
All right, we got less than a minute. Odell Beckham. Wow, he might be out. Brandon Marshall's banged up. But Marshall's going to play most likely.
Yeah.
I think Sterling Shepard actually might be one of these steals, guys. Think about it. Marshall's flaky. How much does he really know the offense?
Yeah, not
Marshall's always, my groin. He's always one play away from being on the sidelines looking disgruntled. And then you got Sterling Shepard, 8 touchdowns last year, all reliable for Eli. He was solid as a rookie last year. I think Shepard, guys, might be a steal in this football game if Beckham is out and you don't trust Marshall.
Yeah, I do think Beckham is going to play, but even still, Shepard is going to get a lot of
play. Dude, he hasn't stepped onto a practice field since that injury.
He hasn't. I know, he
so
was spotted on a bike.
So that's if you guys play him.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't play him. I wouldn't play him. But I do think
that
he
may
play
in this game. I'm talking
about the
Giants playing him.
It's
dangerous and dumb if they play him.
Yeah, and because they can beat the Cowboys without him. And Cowboys, their defense is
not
the same.
We got to get out of here. Odell Beckham's, he's riding a bike. Yeah, good luck riding a bike like that. One helmet to the knee, one helmet. Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
And I hear Bilal Powell against your Bills. He's cheap.
Yeah, I'd take, Cameron 2 Drew against my Bills at running back. All right. Plays of the day next.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
All right, it's time for some plays of the day, and unfortunately, they're baseball. Although, you know what? We were doing really well on baseball, then football came, and we've had a one-track mind, man. football, but no football on the board tonight. So let's take the Cleveland Indians. You know, they've won 12 in a row. They've covered the run line 10 of the last 12 games. Let's lay the run and a half. Angels get it done against the Athletics tonight. We'll lay the 50 cents. D-backs have won 11 in a row. I think it's the first time I bet against the Dodgers this year, or at least rarely. But Greinke in a good spot tonight. Verlander makes his debut for the Strohs. We'll lay the 55, 60 cents. May the winners be yours.